Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Crete. To rainy Crete. Fingers crossed it will get better, because today is now it's cloudy, but it doesn't rain, so I think it will stop in a while. So we will see. Welcome to Crete. Welcome to this island. Welcome to Heraklion City. He approached actually the port of Heraklion City. He approached the port of the capital of the island. And we are more or less on the central part of the northern coast of Crete, the one that faces mainland Greece. And if you have ever noticed the shape of this island on a map, it's elongated, stretching from east to west. And to give you also the numbers, straight line from east to west, the island is 260 kilometers long, but this is straight line, because driving time, one is over 6 hours. And from north to south, the widest part of this island is 60 kilometers, and the most narrow one is only 12. So elongated is the shape of this island, stretching from east to west, and you approach the northern coast of this island, and the northern coast of Crete is the part of this island that is, so to say, more developed. All the main towns, the ports, the airport, the most of the touristic resorts are on the northern coast of Crete. The central part of the island is mountainous. Crete, generally speaking, is a mountainous island, so the central part of this island has mountain ranges one after the other, and the southern coast of Crete is the unspoiled spot. This is the first time. Has anyone been here before? No one, huh? So, just one. This is not a good statistics, but okay. Okay. So just to have a general aspect about this island, I keep that in mind. The northern coast to be more developed, the central part to be mountainous, and the southern coast to be the unspoiled spot. So, my name is Thalia. I will be with you for this tour. I'm not alone though. Here's also a driver with us, taking care of us. His name is Chronis. Chronis. Καλημέρα, Χρόνη.
Καλημέρα.
Εντάξει. Χρόνης and Thalia. And Chronis is driving by the seafront of Heraklion for you to have the chance also to see the traditional port of Heraklion. Later, we will come downtown, because now we will drive a quick circle. You will have the chance to see the traditional port, and then we will go to visit the archaeological site of Knossos. So, we are approaching this port, and to the left you see this stone construction with the arches. These are places for the boats during winter or for any repair work. And just right here to the right, you see the traditional port of Heraklion, and you see also a castle. The castle that you see here to the right is a Venetian construction. Venice. There was a time in our history that Venice occupied Crete, and this is a construction of the 16th century AD. The Venetians called this castle Rocca, bless you, Rocca al Mare, which means the rock in the sea. You see why they called it like that, eh? It's a castle in the sea, Rocca al Mare. And just right here to the right, you see a pedestrian street. Just right here, a pedestrian street. This pedestrian street straight ahead leads to the very center of Heraklion city. The heart of Heraklion is on the inner part of the settlement, not by the seafront, on the inner part. So, our plan for today is we will need 10-15 minutes, the most of driving time, until we approach the archaeological site of Knossos. Once we will exit Heraklion, we will be there, in the archaeological site of Knossos. So that will be in 10 minutes, 15 the most. The archaeological site of Knossos is among the most important archaeological sites. Not only of Crete, or of Greece. Knossos is among the most important archaeological sites of Europe. And I'm mentioning so, because Knossos is the most important center, was the most important center of the first advanced civilization of Europe. But you will have time for that. You will understand through the guiding tour how important the archaeological site of Knossos is. So our first visit will be there. We will stay for more or less 2 hours, a bit less than 2 hours, in the archaeological site of Knossos, and then we will come downtown. In the center of Heraklion, you will have a bit of free time before we return back to the port. This is our plan for today. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So to the right here, you see part of the fortification wall. Again, Venetian construction, again from the 16th century. Part of this fortification wall, same as the castle, 16th century AD, Venetian. This wall is 4 kilometers long with 7 bastions. To the right, you see the continuation of the fortification wall in the distance also, you see that? This wall surrounds nowadays only the center of the capital here, but back then when this wall was constructed, of course it surrounded the whole of the capital. Heraklion nowadays has a population of 200,000 people, whereas the total population of Crete is 600,000 people. Almost one third of the total population of Crete is living here in the capital. This is the economic center of the island. So, the center is there, but we are going now to Knossos, the archaeological site, so let me sit properly here in front. Let me take advantage now of the rest of the driving time to mention a few basic things about the archaeological site, the Palace of Knossos. First of all, you see where nowadays the capital of the island is. It used to be also the prehistoric center of the island, because Knossos was the prehistoric center of Crete. Knossos is not, first of all, Knossos is not the only palace, the only prehistoric palace that we have on this island. So far, four palaces have been excavated, four prehistoric palaces, but most of the tours include the Palace of Knossos, because Knossos is the largest palace and the most glorious one, the most luxurious one. So, this is also the reason for the archaeologists, the scholars, to know, to believe that the most important center of the Minoan civilization was Knossos. Minoan, the Minoan civilization. The name is given to the civilization by the archaeologists. When they excavated the palaces and they were thinking of a name, their idea was to name the civilization after its legendary king. The legendary king of this island was Minos. King Minos, exactly. So they called the civilization Minoan. And we call these prehistoric people of this island Minoans, although we do not really know how these people called themselves back then. And you may have already heard of the legendary King Minos, or you may have heard of some other mythological stories. You may have heard of a labyrinth, a complicated construction with many corridors and rooms that labyrinth was. You may have heard of a monster that lived into the labyrinth, Minotaur, a monster that was half man and half bull, or Minotaur in a more Greek accent. Or you may have heard of the two men that managed to fly away from this island of Crete, Icarus and Daedalus. This is a long mythological story that the prehistoric period of this island is connected with. And you may simply know that Greece has a long mythology. Every single part of Greece has its own myths. And here, of course, we have these myths. And to start with, the legendary King Minos was actually a son of Zeus and Europa. Europa was a beautiful princess of a Phoenician king. Phoenix is where nowadays Lebanon is, more or less. So Zeus saw Europa, that beautiful princess, he fell in love. To approach her, he decided to be transformed into a bull. Each time that Zeus wanted to approach a mortal lady, he was doing these transformations. It was easier for him to approach a mortal lady being transformed. In our story, he decided to be transformed into a bull. And by the way, if you have noticed, the 2 euro Greek coin, the Greek one, the 2 euro, you will see that the bull is depicted and the lady sitting on the back of the bull. That lady is Europa, princess, the princess, and the bull is Zeus. This is the 2 euro Greek coin reflecting this exact myth. So, that bull Zeus went close to Europa. Europa started playing with that bull, and as she was playing with the bull, she sat on the back of the bull. And as soon as that happened, the bull Zeus ran away from the shore so quickly that the young princess could do nothing else than hold tight the horns of the bull. And Zeus brought Europa here, on this island of Crete. But I think I better say, Zeus brought Europa back to his birthplace, because all the ancient Greeks believed that the birthplace of Zeus was this island of Crete. So Zeus brought Europa here, he took back his normal appearance, and from this union of Europa with Zeus, Europa gave birth to 3 boys. Their names were Minos, the one that later became the king, Rhadamanthus, and Sarpedon. Zeus had to leave. Europa found herself alone on this island, so subsequently she married the first king of Crete. His name was Asterios. They were happy for many years till the day that Asterios died. And when the first king died, one of the 3 sons had to rule. One of the 3 had to take the throne. Minos was the oldest one. And since he was the oldest one, he also thought to be the most favorite of the gods. So in a way, he kind of demanded to be the king, but his brothers were not convinced. They told him, if you have to be the king, you have to give us a sign. A sign from the gods. And Minos asked from Poseidon to help him, the god of the sea. And Poseidon agreed. And as the 3 brothers were arguing by the shore of this island about who's going to be the king and who's not, suddenly a white bull came out of the sea, but that was the white sacred bull of Poseidon that went and stood right next to Minos. And this is how Minos managed to be the king. This was the sign from the gods, and this is how mythology starts. This was the legendary king Minos. After him, the civilization is named Minoan. This is how mythology starts, but let me explain something about mythology. Mythology is not history. I know that it's not history, it's not reality, but what mythology really is in its core, it is the way that these ancient people had back then in order to give explanations to the things that were happening around them. If you think for a while, nowadays we take many things as granted, things that we don't question, because we have answers. That's the reason. We have answers. To give you a very simple example, let's say we know what rain is, we know why it rains. These people back then were observing their reality. They had to explain their reality, so they created stories. Stories to explain the things that were happening around them. So mythology is exactly that. What I'm trying to say is that behind each and every single myth, there is an amount of truth. Because they had to have a reason to create a myth back then. But of course, after so many centuries, mythology has been created with so much fantasy that the truth behind the myth is hard to be found. But there is. Until the very end of the 19th century, we didn't know if a palace existed on this island or not. Only these myths were known, and people were thinking that these were just fairy tales from the past. But at the end of the 19th century, they started thinking, maybe that legendary king that we know was not that legendary. If he existed, somewhere must be the ruins of his palace, and they were happy enough and lucky enough to excavate first the palace of Knossos, and then they continued with more excavations. And all these findings gave us a very good understanding of the prehistoric period of this island and of this first advanced civilization of Europe. that it was mythology that pushed people's search for a palace. So mythology is not a different chapter. It's an important chapter. And there is always a connection between mythology and the archaeological findings. Always a connection. So, in a moment you will see also the parking lot. Now we're about to exit. Let me tell you what happened with that king. King Minos made a big mistake. As soon as he managed to be the king of this island, he made a big mistake. That mistake was not to sacrifice the white sacred bull of Poseidon, and the god of the sea got angry. So to punish King Minos, Poseidon chose a strange punishment. The punishment was to make the wife of King Minos, and that was the Queen Pasiphae, to give birth to a monster, and this monster is what you may know as Minotaur, or Minotaur, or Minotaur. A monster that had the body of a human being, but the head and the power was of a bull. Minotaur lived in a labyrinth. Labyrinth was a complicated construction with many corridors and rooms that one could enter, but one could very easily lose his way. And I will stop here with this myth, with this story. Notice that we exit Heraklion. Notice the area, how green enough it is around. Imagine how much more fertile it was back then, because all these four palaces are built on wisely chosen spots, on fertile areas, so that they could cultivate the areas, because the Minoans back then were exporting their agricultural production. And the agricultural production back then was pretty much as nowadays. Olive oil. The most of the trees that you see around are olive trees, for example here to the left. These trees with a silver green color, these are olive trees. So back then the same, olive oil, wine,